he said, she said, or technically speaking and simply put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
So here we are. Everyone out there in SNU land, thanks for listening. And it's September 2018. We're experiencing a massive change in the weather. And of course, that brings all kinds of other changes. So how do you feel about that, Tracy?
Well, of course, I like the warmer weather. I'm not keen on winter. I would be keen on winter if I was into winter sports. But I'm not into winter sports, not anymore when I was younger. But I'm more of a late spring, early, late fall kind of girl. That's what I like.
Yeah, and then you did try all kinds of new things this summer. You've got a bucket list, and we're going to talk about that later. But for now, what's cooking?
What's cooking is Sicilian Greek salad. A little bit of a mind twist when you think of the name, Sicilian Greek. Well, what happened was a friend of ours invited us over for dinner, and she was having a Sicilian-themed dinner. And she says, why don't you make a Greek salad? I said, well, huh, a Greek salad, but you're having a Sicilian dinner. How can I make a Greek salad and twist it into add some little Sicilian ingredients to it? So what I did, well, actually, it was quite a hit. Everybody loved it, and I've made it many times, and everybody loves it. So you make a regular Greek salad, as usual. You use cucumbers, red onion. I use colored peppers, some grape tomatoes, which would be, if you can, get different colored tomatoes. And I use shaved fresh Parmesan cheese, cut thickly, so it's quite thick. I use garbanzo beans. I add in chopped anchovies, and three or four different types of olives, the Kalamata olives, as well as a black olive, large stuffed olives could have garlic in them or pimento. And I just dress it with olive oil and oregano and maybe just a tad of salt and pepper if you desired. But it was delicious, and every bite had something new and exciting in it. And the garbanzo beans added a nice soft texture to it as well, because it's quite crunchy, and the olives were salty and had the brine. It was just delicious. It was really good.
Absolutely. Greek is one of my favorites, and this one could be even on top of that. I love the garbanzo bean, as you mentioned, and typically when I make a Greek salad, I just use the four vegetables, the onions, the tomatoes, the green peppers, and cucumber, right. And then I used lots of goat feta, but this has a bit of a twist, and the taste was excellent, and it's a really nice side salad to a nice protein and or high-quality carbohydrate, but just on its own, it's just a magnificent salad.
Well, it was very satisfying. It was very filling, right? So you can just have a piece of meat, fish, or chicken, or just have it on its own. But what made it more Sicilian-Italian was the Parmesan, garbanzo beans, the anchovies, right? And olives are from Greece as well, but also Italian. So, yeah, that's what made it a little bit more. You could add capers in there, too, if you like. But I thought with the olives, it might be a little bit too much. But that's my new recipe. So all you do is when you have a recipe, and that's what was creative about it. I just got creative because she said she wanted a Greek salad. So I said, I'll put Sicilian in it. And voila, now I have a new recipe. And it's a hit. Everybody liked it. There wasn't one bit left. And I made a huge, big salad. And mind you, it was pretty pricey to make because Parmesan cheese is kind of expensive, and all those different olives are expensive, but it was well worth it. It was well worth the expense, of course, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll put this on the site so that anyone that wants to whip this up can have an idea of the ingredient panel and the methodology. Okay. Anything else on that?
I think that's about it.
Good stuff. Okay. So who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was Susan Schizo. Susan Schizo is an orthopedic physiotherapist based in Toronto. She completed her studies in the University of Toronto, starting with an undergraduate degree in physical education and health, and ending with a Master of Science in physical therapy. Susan is also a Pilates instructor, regularly using this form of exercise to help her clients build body awareness and strength. She splits her time between two private practices where she sees clients with a large range of musculoskeletal injuries. So if you want to have any more information about Susan, on her bio, CCHI website. So this was a very, very interesting interview because I don't know what happened. In the past few months, we've been hearing a lot about concussion. A couple of my dance students had concussion, actually while we were actually practicing. Not while we were practicing, before she came in, she was playing volleyball and she banged her head. The ball smashed her through the chin and she banged her head. And then she danced afterwards. If I'd known what I know now, I would not have had her dance, but she said she was fine. One of the most interesting things that stood out for me in this interview, I thought that to get a concussion, you had to bang your head. And that was it. Banging your head, you got a concussion. But that's not so. You just need a major blow to your body that jolts your head. You just jolt your body and you can get a concussion. I thought that was interesting, didn't you, Corey?
Yeah, absolutely. And also the impact on the head itself. You think that, okay, that's the source of the damage and it's the impact itself. No, usually you get knocked in the head, the skull's pretty tough. Then that impact energy travels through, and then the brain is inside of a sac, so it has, there's no direct impact on the brain, and it's kind of mushy. And if you actually had a brain, you know, in your hand and sort of punched it, you wouldn't do a lot of damage. It's kind of soft and mushy. So it's the neurochemicals, it's the metabolites as a result of the impact that cause the inflammation and cause a lot of the neurofibrillary entanglement, the structural damage in the tracts inside the brain with the dendrites and the neurons. And then that goes on. That isn't not just because of the one impact and then it's over, gone the next day. No, it stays in you and you have to go through this whole process of detox and healing. And, you know, as we discovered with this interview, there's a whole elaborate, complicated process of actually treating a concussion.
Oh, for sure. Well, another interesting thing was there was different types of physiotherapy. I thought physiotherapy was just on the muscles and you got a sore back or you twisted your ankle. But she said there's quite a few types. There's orthopedic physiotherapy, which is bone, muscle, and tendons. Then there's stroke rehab and post-stroke, which would be neurological rehab. And then there would be cardiorespiratory rehabilitation and sports physiotherapy, working with sports teams, etc. So that's kind of interesting. I always thought just somebody had a stroke, it would just be rehab. I didn't put the two and two together that it was physiotherapy rehab. Duh. And concussions are one of the most complex to diagnose and to heal. A traumatic brain injury, a direct blow to the body, not necessarily in the head, can cause brain concussion. So anytime, like even a kid or anybody that you know has a major fall or a real blow to their body, some impact, you should go take them to the doctor and find out, especially if they're a little dizzy, they might feel a little nauseous, vertigo, that type of thing. If this continues, then you need to go and see if maybe they are suffering from a concussion, right? To get a detailed assessment is required. There's not like not one symptom to diagnose a concussion. It's a multitude of things. That was interesting because, you know, kids wipe out, they fall out of trees, they fall off the swings, you know, and there could be something there to that, maybe a minor concussion even, right?
Yeah, and it becomes more of a factor as we age because we're less pliable, less elastic. The older we get, the harder we fall, more or less. You know, you hear all the time about old folks falling down and breaking their bones and hips and or falling down on their wrist or arm and snapping it. Mm-hmm. So all the more reason why we need to prepare as, you know, health conscious people through exercise, through training, through sport, prepare for the possibilities that might come our way in the future. Otherwise, we get into some really serious troubles that the medical profession will have great difficulty trying to treat and help you with, because you're so far gone by that time. It's really difficult for any medication or therapy to really do much.
Well, I mean, it could be real havoc on the family, too, because your personality can actually change. Another interesting thing was, quite a few interesting things in this article. Of course, football, boxing, the ultimate sport, wrestling, you know, could have a high risk of concussion. But she says a high level soccer is surprisingly a sport with concussions. Like at the highest level is soccer. Now, who'd have thought that? Also, if you suspect a concussion, if you can't get to a doctor, the first 24 to 48 hours is you need to rest. You actually need to just lay there and rest. And no reading, no homework, no cell phone. You have to minimize the strain on the brain. So, as I mentioned, the gal who had this, she ended up having a concussion. She banged her head, and then she came to a dance rehearsal with me. I didn't know if she should have, but she, I feel fine. I'm okay. I'm just a little dizzy, she said. Well, now I know. And I would never, I said, are you sure you're okay? But she said she was fine. So I would never have done that again. So I'm so grateful that we had this SNU, Corey. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's just part of what we need to know about regarding sport itself. I think that training in the gym correctly is much, much safer than pretty much any sport, even ping pong. I remember once I hit my hand really hard on the edge of the table and it throbbed and it hurt for like 2 weeks. Now, I don't normally walk out of the gym with that kind of an injury or any kind of injury because the movements are sterile, they're planned, they're executed with precision, but you get this wonderful anti-aging sort of functional health benefit. So still, the training in the gym, which includes cardio and stretching, but the weight training itself is by far, in this day and age, the most reliable way to toughen up your body and create within it the immune factors that it needs to stay well.
Well, her final word was try to be active every day and do something different. Do different kind of movement experiences, which was great, you know, because it's, if we do the same thing all the time, our body gets used to that. We need to challenge our brain. So do different movement experiences, right? Kind of goes on this bucket list thing I'm going to talk about later. But so she says, live sustainably, of course, and be adventurous, whatever that means to you. Okay, well, thank you very much, Susan. We really appreciate that interview. I got a lot out of that. Thank you.
Yeah, me too. That was really good. Okay, so what's your hot topic?
My hot topic is, what's on your bucket list? So how many of you out there have a list of things that you would like to do in your lifetime? If there's something that you really want to do in your life, are you preparing for it? Have you made a list? What they say a bucket list is something you want to do before you die. I agree with that. That's exactly what it is. But there are some things that I'd like to do, let's say, next year. I've got goals that I want to do next year. Am I planning for it? Am I preparing for it? So it could be absolutely anything that you want to do, whether it's talking to a person you haven't spoken to before. It could be rectifying a relationship. It could be traveling to a far-off country, climbing a mountain, scuba diving, water skiing, whatever it is that you think you want to do, trying some new adventurous food. Make a list. And here's a challenge. Five things that you would like to do. And I'm not saying before you die. I'm saying maybe next year or maybe this season. Write down five things that you would like to do that are outside of your comfort zone. And they usually are outside your comfort zone, I would say, a bucket list. Wouldn't you say, Corey?
Yep. My bucket list is sort of put together on a desire that's associated with my perceived experience of the event. So, for example, in terms of travel, I want to go to Mozambique, the Galapagos Islands, and the Azores Islands. I'm really attracted to islands and the island lifestyle and the uniqueness of islands. So when I look at those on the web and watch documentaries, I see something there that attracts me. And then, of course, the goal then would be to, in your mind's eye, create a vision of actually experiencing that. And today, it's never been as easy and as affordable to travel anywhere on this planet. I mean, really, in terms of technology, the world has really gotten smaller. You see, you can pretty much go anywhere, anytime, just book it and pay for it, and you can be there in a few days.
Absolutely. But this is something that needs to be planned. Let's say you wanted to go to climb Mount Everest or even go to the base camp. There's a certain season that you go. You need to have certain apparatus. It costs a certain amount of money. So you got to plan for this if that's something you really want to do. This list can be short or long, simple or challenging. It's all about you and what you want and need to do in your life to give you a sense of accomplishment, completion, and satisfaction. So let's do that. Let's write that down. Write about 5 things if you want, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 things if you want. But write a few things down that even next year that you would like to accomplish or challenge yourself to do. I think it's good to have lots of little bucket lists and also major bucket lists as well. I think that's exciting in life to me to have these little, you call them bucket lists or goals or targets or whatever it is you want to call it. But I like that idea. It makes life worthwhile. For me, anyway, that's how I look at it. It's good to have something to look forward to.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, sport can bring about all kinds of opportunity that can add to that list. Like in my hammer and in track and field, there's all kinds of world championships. And ultimately, you can use the sport and your love of that as a vehicle to extend travel and meet new people and then add to your experience as well. So getting involved in Masters Athletics, getting involved in sport at the local level, and then looking at the higher level is all part of more possibility that brings personal satisfaction and fulfillment, like you said.
Absolutely. Even if you wanted to do a fitness competition or bodybuilding competition or something like that, or a fem sport competition. There's lots of different things you can do to challenge yourself sport-wise as well. Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah, and it's got to be more than wishful thinking. Okay, so I wish I could go to Mozambique. Okay, if I keep that thought in my mind and never make a point of writing it down and actually committing myself, you have to commit yourself. Can't see it all in one night or one week. So you choose one thing, and here's how you get committed. You pick a date. You have to pick a date. Otherwise, it's like when you see somebody you haven't seen for a while, and you say, oh, let's get together sometime. And then they go their way, and then you haven't seen them for 10 years now because you never actually made a point of phoning and following through and setting a specific time to get together. That's the key, I think, to make these things happen.
Well, it's preparation, right? You got to prepare. You got to plan it out and prepare for it. So absolutely. So make it happen. You're the only one that can make it happen. Nobody can do it for you, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I like that, what you just said. What's your final word?
My final word is, by anonymous, travel is the only thing you buy that makes you richer.